This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Now that you know who the guy is, you shouldn't even be in this area. You should go kill him right now. And the more... That's good.
Forsake ye the Lord.
Yes. Yes. Then doubt, then on we go.
Okay. Now, we're dealing with singing actors. They're both singers and actors. Two different but related disciplines. If you're working in the in the realm of music theater making. What I really look for is intense interactivity that is honest, that the kind of dramatic tension in the air maintains itself throughout. So I try to get rid of I encourage performers to get rid of any extraneous motion or movement and just clear all that away and, you know, really listen to what other people are saying and try to get something accomplished as a character.
She's selling it.
Yeah.
I believe her.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to just distance myself.
But you don't want to go there. You don't want to.
She was offering me help.
Right.
And so I feel like if she, I feel like whatever she says is right from now, here on out. So what if what she's saying is that she is going to save him and that she loves him still, if I don't leave, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. With a space like this, which does allow you to focus on the singers, what I say to them, I said, there's good news and bad news. They're only going to look at you. That's the good news. But if what you're doing is not good, that's the bad news. They'll see that too. It points up everything, every detail. I think the main thing with this set, we were trying to create an environment that did not require any stops for scene changes, so that the piece just flows from one scene to the next. It's a lengthy opera, and a lot of times, productions I've seen that have these, you know, 3 to 5 minute scene changes, it can really cause havoc with the pacing of the piece. So that's the main thing.
It's an interesting set. There's virtually a city underneath that rake. There are, I think, about 20 traps that are built into the stage floor. Most of them are pretty small, maybe 2x2, and props are handed up out of the traps, and people reach down into the traps and grab props, and at one point in the opera, people actually appear from the traps, and, of course, Don Giovanni goes down through the trap to hell at the end of the opera. There's a lot of movement of simple pieces of scenery that transform the environment from one scene to the other without actually defining where you are. It sort of provides a place for the action to happen, but it seems to me that the director's focus is to focus on the performers and on where they are in the story and how that works, and to not be constrained by a realistic representation of the scenery around it. It's a little bit of a jewel box, if you will. And within that jewel box are these very talented singers and the chorus and people and supers that are doing some pretty, you know, pretty intricate staging.
At the bottom of Act 1, this is Tripp's pinpoints, so it kind of blouses up under the cornice in a really pretty way. In the very, very end, it kabukis and the whole thing falls. And then so then we open up in Act 2, the pieces, which are these two, are draped over the set.
This is a really pretty stellar cast, and especially the man who's singing Don Giovanni.
Tanto, 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 tanto.
Hilda Brando is an amazing artist, very high international standard. It's been an extremely short rehearsal period. And so when you're dealing with even an incredible artist like Hilda Brando with such a compact rehearsal period, some of the ideas were different to him, and he was not resistant at all. He was willing to try anything. But when you have someone of that caliber who's done it that many times, combined with a short rehearsal period, it takes a little time to sort of deprogram ideas and to reprogram. And that's been a really interesting process. And as I said, he's been very open to it. He brings a lot of game to the piece. So I give him a lot of leeway. You know, we talk about ideas, but not that many details. I wanted to give him a wide berth in terms of bringing his own improvisational spirit to the piece. These sort of two extremes, the direction of the character can be taken in. And my problem is that if it's only the sadistic, violent brute, I don't really feel that, I don't feel that all of these people would love him, all these women especially. If he's a charming scamp, I get the feeling that, yeah, I would love a charming scamp too, but I don't really feel he deserves to go to hell. When it's one or the other of those two extremes, I feel dissatisfied with the character.
The question is, when does he believe?
Sonarchy snaps.
Something snaps. So up to that moment, though, I guess that was my question. Up to that moment, you think it's a joke.
Yeah, I play with him.
Yeah, that's why I thought, he's sitting down, he's eating popcorn and watching a comedy. Something like that feeling to it. That's
maybe
why
I can see.
Yeah, but that's why I thought you'd have the girl, because it's not, you're not concentrating on the commentator, you're concentrating on his fear. Mm. That's what
there has to be a sympathetic side so that they don't let go of him to hell. As easily as you know, people like to play it.
I think you do need to have both. Not that you try to be everything all the time, but I think that the character develops.
They have to care. I mean, he's charming, he's beautiful. He gives pleasure to his women before he breaks their hearts. He knows how to tap into the heart, which, of course, compounds the heartbreak.
He's a pretty bad guy. He deserves to go to hell for a lot of reasons.
Donna Elvira is a character really strong. She's an independent woman. Until the end, she wants to save Don Giovanni because, of course, she's in love and she would like to live with him. And, of course, this is not possible because it's not possible for Don Giovanni to change his character. It's not possible to have a real story with him. He's a character very expansive. She's telling what she's thinking.
If we just listened to her a little bit more, I think we could all have our own compassion for him. But we're just not able to deal with that. And so I walk away, she walks away in her own way. But I think if we got a little one-on-one time with her, we would all kind of be Team Elvira. Yeah.
I like that. That was great. Cool.
Yeah, that,
that really
was
like
yeah. between women.
Yes,
between why I feel almost. This, yes. could you help me with this? Why? Perché questo spirito?
Yeah, that really worked well.
That was good.
Yeah. We just did.
E queste ambasce mi tradivano l'alma ingrata, quell'alma ingrata.
Kind of the hero for Zerlina, whether Zerlina knows it or not. The first time we meet Zerlina, it's her wedding day, and she's with all of the other peasants, the chorus in the show, and they're celebrating, and Don Giovanni walks in, which is very strange because he's a nobleman, a cavalier, and this is a peasant wedding. He has really no reason to show up. So when he does show up and shows attention to Zerlina, she's so starstruck, it's kind of as if Brad Pitt walked in on her wedding day and, you know, asked her to change her mind. She has a hard time with it. She's not sure what to do. So over the course of the opera, she really struggles with her commitment to Mazzetto and her wedding day and how amazing she feels to be paid attention to by such an, you know, a rich and wealthy nobleman.
Cari amici, buongiorno. Se vi fate a sparare le gramelle, se vi fate a suonare. Oh, buona gente, c'è qualche sposalizio?
Sì, signore, e la sposa sono io.
Me ne consola.
Donna Elvira saves Zerlina in a way. If Donna Elvira doesn't come into the scene,
yes.
Giovanni and Zerlina have a completely different story.
Yeah, it would be the story totally different.
Exactly. In this production, we actually have him as a long-term friend. So we almost think of Don Giovanni, for me, as a brother-in-law character. So he's somebody that we really trust from the beginning. The rape scene, he's masked, so I don't know that it's him in the room. So it's interesting to see that unfold. First, we go to him for help and as a trusted, you know, cavalier, and then we find out he did murder my father. And then it becomes a lot more intense.
Oh,
I also think we have an arc. I mean, we're all very separate at the beginning, and then you'll see at the end we kind of bond together and have a woman united front, which is different in this production than other productions, but I think it's a really nice element.
Io prodigio, in verità, io prodigio verità, 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 io prodigio in verità.
I sat down a Ferruccio Furlanetto a couple of years ago when we were doing Murder in the Cathedral. I was lucky to sing next to him on stage. And he's one of the most famous librellos of, you know, two generations. And he gave me just sort of a way into it. He said, he is not a buffoon. He is not the comic relief. He is a real man with multi-layers. I took that and ran away with it. Leporello is intelligent. He believes in education. He picks up all the very sophisticated vocabulary that Don Giovanni uses, and he incorporates it into his text. He takes pride in his job. He has a strong work ethic. It's very much like, you know, the butlers that we see on Downton Abbey. He really likes to do his job well, and that's what he's loyal to. He is a tormented person. He has a fascination with Giovanni's, you know, prowess, I guess, both emotional and physical, and what he gets to do. And Leporello, I don't think he's any less capable physically, be it in appearance or physical capability, but he has a conscience. And then there is also the aspect of being stuck, you know, like a wife in an abusive marriage, not being able to leave, knowing that you have nowhere to go, at least for the time being. So you're stuck, you have to stay.
Verdi and Puccini there, of course. And it's my debut with Don Giovanni. the orchestra is really so transparent, you know. You can hear every details in the later repertoire. I don't want to say that everything is covered, but for instance, in Puccini, the instrumentation is huge. You know, he had four flutes, four clarinets. The harmony is more starting to be more complex, you know, and the lines are so simple. And when the music is simple, it's going to be difficult. Technically, you know exactly where you have to put your fingers on the instrument, and there are no other possibilities, you know. It's a really so transparent. I think that inside the tenor parts, there are the most beautiful moments, like Dalla Sua Pace. It's an aria where start begins with nothing, with just a whisper of the orchestra, with a long chord of the strings, and the melody is so beautiful, so pure. Then also with Donna Anna and Donna Elvira, we have other important lyrics moment, you know, but not with Leporello and not with Don Giovanni. It's more buffo, everything. You know? It's the engine of the entire drama, you know, the Don Giovanni and Leporello parts. So that probably needs to be more exciting, everything.
Mozart never judges his characters. He really always looks at their situation through their lens. And he's able to step into those various shoes fully, like Shakespeare. Like Shakespeare, he mixes the tonalities all the time, in all of his works, I think. Oh.
It's a great first opera. I think Giovanni, Bohème, Carmen, Traviata are probably very relatable and easy to follow for anybody who hasn't been to many operas in the past. The music is great. The story is, you know, you could read it in a book today, and it's done one. It's, you know, people all know the story generally, and we get to add our own spice.
I agree, and I think all the characters are great in their own way. And I think that from an audience perspective, you can kind of follow the journey of any one character and have a really interesting experience.
Everyone can be a Don Giovanni, you know, and it's a modern opera because we can really continue to talk about this.
Let's keep the... I'm going to kill him.
As soon as this aria is over.
As soon as this aria is over, I'm killing him. That'd be the joy.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.